All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? You know what time it is. Time to talk some football, everybody, for this week. Listen, if you're new to the show, if you haven't done so already, could you find it in your heart to head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube? Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up as well. It's very simple, absolutely free, no subscription needed. Cancel anytime you want. All that kind of good stuff. You can also tell a friend to tell a friend. Make sure you share it. Spread the word. You know what?
Absolutely. And just like that, on the banner too as well, shop the grumblingsmedia.com too. We have tons of swag out there. So get yourself a mug. Get yourself a shirt. Look snazzy. Look really nice in the
grumblings
swag. So the really grumblings. Yeah, exactly. So, so Joe, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but let's get to it. Last night, again, it seems like this whole, from the offseason till even now, we've been talking about the Bengals and how this front office is just, they screwed things up. And we've talked about how the fact that, you know, they have a small scouting crew too and stuff like that. So they work with what they got. And we get that. But again, here you are. And how has the Bengals just not thought about the fact that, yes, we have Joe Burrow, that he's one of the best, if not the best, you know, in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And this offense all runs on him and the weapons that they have, and here we go. But he has been injury prone for the last couple of seasons. Why not get a veteran or something to back him up just in case, because you feel like you're a contender? What you did this year with signing all those guys, trying to bring those guys in, coming to terms with Trey Hendrickson, even though that's pretty much all you have there on defense, you do not have a better kind of backup plan. Jake Browning has come in before and played okay, but again, I don't think he's the guy that's going to kind of lead you to where you need to go. And starting off 2-0 looked great for him, but with Joe Burrow going down, you see Jake Browning again, turnovers like crazy. Last night, not so much, but now it seems like the team is feeling the difference with not having Burrow in there. They're not playing, I think, on all cylinders, kind of disgruntled. You hear what Ja'Marr Chase is saying. Just the lack of having that leadership and having him there, they're just lost. I mean, you know, teams used to be able to score on them nonstop, and they still do. They have their 32nd ranked against the run, which you saw J.K. Dobbins with a 100-yard rushing night last night. Bo Nix being able to throw them on them too as well. Denver just doing whatever they wanted to them. And no fight back at all. You don't have that general there missing. And for a team that felt like they could make a push into the playoffs and have the opportunity with the way that the Ravens have kind of squandered what they've had, really had a shot, I think, this year to do something, at least take a run for the division.
Well, every team has a shot to make a run, to be competitive. But the problem with the Bengals is your starting quarterback went down. That's the bottom line. You take any starter from any team, Patrick Mahomes goes down. Guess what happens to the Chiefs? They fold up like a lawn chair and they're done. You know, any team that they're going to have to go through. Now, because it's so early in the season, here's the tricky part, is if you're the organization, like, you guys got to wake up. Like, we've already complained numerous times about decisions that they've made in the offseason leading into the beginning of the season. Well, now, guess what? Now Joe Burrow goes down. Are you just going to throw in the towel, give up on the season? No, you shouldn't be. You should be actually making some phone calls. Now, we don't know if they have or have not done that, but, you know, I hear Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, like, he would like to start again. Maybe you call them, see if you can get a deal done with bring over Kirk Cousins. And it doesn't stop there. Look at the quarterback changeover with the Giants. Now they have the rookie, Jackson Dart, going to lead the charge. Russell Wilson could be available. Maybe you go reach out to New York and see if you can get a deal done. Don't give up on the season yet. It doesn't make any sense. But by not doing anything, that's the problem, is that you're literally giving up on the season, because from our standpoint, it looks like you're not even trying. You're not even trying. Listen, if you called those teams right now and they both told you, go kick rocks, we're not trading either one, at least you tried. But to be comfortable with Jake Browning, I mean, come on. We've seen this. We've seen this tune over and over before. Where the guy comes in, he struggles. He's the backup. He's not the starter. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And any Bengal fan out there has got to be ripping their hair out and saying, dude, like, are we really just giving up on the season? We're not going to try to get another quarterback? Even if you go out and trade for a backup quarterback that's better than Jake Browning right now, at least it shows that you're trying to do something. So for the Bengals, I got to say, like, it seems to me like they kind of just threw in the towel and they're kind of already done with the season already.
Yeah, and it's basically the season's now, because if you look at who they have the next couple of weeks, it's not easy. They've got the Lions, the Packers, and even the Steelers seem like they're starting to maybe come around after a win overseas in Dublin and now on a bye week. Maybe they have a chance now to get things right and rest that, you know, defense, but they've got a rough road here until, you know, they face the Jets, you know, and so then they got a little bit of a chance there, but, like, now's the time. Because, you know, it gets hard here next couple of weeks, and then towards the end of the season when you possibly, you know, could get Burrow back, but I doubt it. Again, you're facing the Bills, the Ravens again, twice. I mean, so the road is not easy, but if you feel like you can still do it and you want to compete, you don't throw in the towel now, like you said. And with the fact that, yes, the Giants made the switch, so, you know, Russell Wilson looks like he might have lost something. We get that, but it at least shows you're trying, and then you're not giving up a whole lot. And even, like you said, for that matter, Jameis Winston, they had him on their third-string quarterback, but no one really got a chance to see what even he had. I mean, in preseason is preseason. We get that. But he's been capable of running a team, being a starter before, and we make the joke about 30 touchdowns, 30 INTs,
right?
But he's throwing touchdowns. Jake Browning's barely doing that. He's throwing more INTs than he has touchdowns. You know, so why not? Like you said, why not? Give it a shot. And this seems like this team with their group, it seems like they're hesitant. Like, they're waiting behind. Like, they don't want to call the Giants. Like, they're maybe waiting. Like, if the Giants calls them, it's like, oh, dude, what do I do? Like, I don't know. You can't do that. You need to have a sense of urgency to save this season. Because, again, when you're doing these, like, press conferences, you know, Zach Taylor's out there, he's talking and stuff like that. He's not talking to even exactly players or the reporters on what they're going to do. He's talking to the fans. And if you're telling me the fans, you know, that, like, hey, we're at least we're 2-2 right now. We're okay. You know, no, the fans aren't buying in on that. They're not believing you. Like, no, we're not okay. Did you see what just happened? You know, 28-3, really? 100 yards rushing on us, almost 300 something yards passing. Our defense blows. We have these great weapons. Our season, we thought we were going to do something. Now it's nothing. Do something. So doing nothing is just as bad.
Yeah, you know, and for the Bengals fans out there, you know, I'm sorry. They should be kicking down the gates at Cincinnati and for the organization and saying, like, we demand you guys to do something. Like, make something work here. Like, it is so early in the season still, and just like you said, they're 2-2. They're 500 right now in the beginning of the season. So make a move. Like, I understand that there's financials involved, there's trade compensation that you got to agree on and everything, but I don't think it's going to be that hard. Go and get yourself a Russell Wilson. Go and get yourself a Jameis Winston. Go and get yourself a Kirk Cousins. They all want to continue playing. Yeah. And although they are doing their due diligence and their agents might be calling around and whatnot, but they're going to be professionals. They're not going to cause a stir even where they're at right now. They're going to sit comfortably as the backup and support whoever is on the football field. But Cincinnati, you got to wake up. Cincinnati Bengals front office, you guys got to start making the phone calls, start getting some trade packages together and make something happen to at least show the Cincinnati fan base that you're not giving up on the season.
Absolutely, Joe. And we talked about them quick here, but let's get into it with the Ravens. What the flock, Ravens? What are you guys doing here? We understand now they're getting more and more injuries. We know that, you know, Nnamdi Madubuike is going to be on, you know, the IR and done. But more keep mounting up, and you had the Bills where you had wanted them. You had, you know, other teams. You had wins right there, and you squandered them. And then you come into this game, which I think still was a winnable game. And I get that KC at home in the kingdom or whatever, it has the home field advantage. They could still, you know, win. They got Worthy back, which was big for them too, and he showed up for them big. But you had to make a statement, and your team that, again, you think you're expecting to make a run for the Super Bowl, and you're not playing like it. Lamar Jackson holding the ball way too long again. We've talked about it multiple times, and now, again, you're hearing it across all the, you know, Twitter sphere and things, that same thing. Everybody's seeing the same thing. He's holding the ball, looking at it, just looking for somebody to get open, hesitant to run, and now he's gotten sacked, what, 15 times already in 4 weeks? Yeah, he's on pace to get sacked 57 times this year. So, yeah, I get it. You know, offensive line's struggling there, but all we're all together, though, on average, you know, the offense gets humming when they're ready to go. They're, what, averaging 378 yards per game, which is great. But that defense now also giving up bigger plays and giving up all that against, you know, against other opposition and losing the game for them has been the factor.
To me, like, the biggest exclamation point is injuries right now for the Ravens. Like, especially this past game where numerous starters have just gone down. Like, they're dropping like flies. And they're not coming back anytime soon. And that's a big problem for them. You know, you think about all the defensive players. And you got Ronnie Stanley who got banged up. He might be missing some time. Lamar Jackson is going to be missing some time. It's rumored that he's going to be missing 2 to 3 weeks. You know, your starting quarterback. We just talked about that in the last segment. Losing your starting quarterback is a huge deal. Now, they're already 1-3. And now that you're not going to have that dynamic that Lamar Jackson brings, are you going to just continue to lose more games? Are you going to be 1-5, 1-6 by the time Lamar Jackson returns?
Right.
This is getting dangerous, damn near close to panic button time for Baltimore. I wouldn't say it would be panic if Lamar was still healthy, and I still think they would have a shot. But you mentioned a couple of those critical losses early on in the season where it came to a Derrick Henry fumble at the end of not one, but two games that turn the tides in the favor of the opponent and giving them two L's.
Yeah.
What's now you're in jeopardy of missing multiple starters on offense and defense, and you're going to be without your starting quarterback for at least a couple weeks. Now, by the time he comes back, now is it too late? Like, are the Ravens doomed? And they're going to have to try to fight themselves out of a hole. So something's got to change here, whether it be coaching staff, whether it be personnel, something. The way they call games, like, something has to change to try to get this thing back on the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, if he's not playing, you're looking at a backup that's going to be – Texans, I get it. They don't look very good this week. But, you know, I know some of these games and some of these teams, you can't expect that it's just going to be an easy win here. You know, still Houston's defense is fairly good. It's just they're trying to get that offense get back roaring. And it wasn't pretty last week, even for Texans. Oh, my goodness. We could have another segment about the Texans not scoring any touchdowns, just winning a game of field goals on a team that they should have probably, again, been able to dominate. But then you've got the Rams, you know, after that. Then luckily you have a bye week. So in case, you know, say Lamar Jackson is injured for at least for 2 weeks, they can come off the bye week and come back into it. But again, that schedule doesn't get harder. Towards you get to the season, it's tougher and tougher. And already being behind the eight ball doesn't help, especially with, you know, say the Steelers, which seems like they're starting to kind of figure out maybe, and then maybe they can turn it over and try and make a run where they're leading the division right now at 3-1. So I think the fact that, you know, it is kind of tight right now, even this division, and where the Bengals having their quarterback issues, you know, and then the Cleveland Browns, obviously just all defense, can't get that offense going. There is a shot, but they've really got to step it up, and hopefully these guys can get healthy here because, again, turnovers have been killing him. They're negative 11, I think, in the turnover differential, which means, you know, they've got 26 giveaways, and that's what's really killed him in these games. You talk about Derrick Henry in those moments. They're crucial moments late in the game that really just, you know, dictated to where the game was going to go, and they ended up in losses.
Yeah, and there's one other big dynamic that nobody's talking about. And people are starting to kind of – what's funny, Jim, is that people are starting to notice now. I mean, we've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks, about Lamar Jackson, about how early on in games, he is Lamar. He's like Batman out there. Like he's got all the gadgets. He's got all the plays. He's a playmaker. And then all of a sudden, the second half comes and it's like Lamar's not Lamar. Now we got Robin, and Robin likes to stay in the pocket and try to throw the football like he's a pocket passer, which he's not. He's the most dynamic quarterback in the game. And instead of using his legs in the second half to kind of, finish off the drives and to finish the game so the Baltimore Ravens have a couple more wins by now, instead he went into a shell of himself. So this is also on Lamar Jackson, where Lamar himself has to come to a realization, like, screw everybody else outside of this building. I don't care if they view me as a running quarterback. I don't care if they view me as a running back. But if I can continue to get wins and stack brick by brick a good foundation, so then maybe we can make the playoffs and see where it takes us, so be it. Stop being Robin, and Lamar needs to turn into Batman for the rest of the season when he does get healthy.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And that's the big decider, especially when you look at the two now top, quarterbacks in the league right now. When you compare your Lamar Jackson with your Josh Allen, Josh Allen is putting his body out there, is making the plays, still is running, still can throw the ball and do what he does. But especially this week, too, again, the massive run that he broke off with stuff, taking the hits and just going, being him. And that's what they need Lamar to do. You be you. That's why we're special. That's why we get where we get. It's because of you. Don't stop being you. Who cares about, again, when they're bringing up stats where, oh, he's got the best QBR of all time right now, and this percentage, this completion percentage, and blah, 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 just almost to kind of prove that point for him and throw it out there, like, he's the most efficient quarterback right now, and everybody said he was only a runner. Be you. That's what makes you special. That's what makes this team special. Don't stop doing that, because look what happens now, too. Don't be afraid to take off and make those plays.
What people are going to remember Lamar Jackson for when it's all said and done is wins. Did he win a championship? Did he win us a bunch of games? He was a multi-MVP by the end of his career. Right. Everybody knows the MVPs are going to be there. But are the wins, are the championships going to be there when it's all said and done? If no one's going to remember, oh, but he threw for over 5,000 yards the one season. He was one of the best quarterbacks that year. No one cares. It's all about winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's not going to do anything for that. And for a team, again, that you feel, on paper, everything looked ready and just there, ready to go and make a return, but not so much now on the field, and they've got themselves with their backs against the wall and injuries mounting up to where, again, look at the Buffalo Bills now. They're roaring. They've got a really good schedule ahead of them, too. They can just keep it going. Who knows how long they can be undefeated at this point and winning the tough matchups. Again, they had a tough one that really Baltimore, I think, just gifted to them. Everybody knows that defense is not as good. You know what I mean? Even though, Sean McDermott, defensive mind coach, he's on it. But everybody knows when we talked about, when the Bills were going to play the Saints, it wasn't going to be a blowout. Even though a lot of other people were saying, oh, there's going to be a blowout. They're going to kill them. Oh, yeah, what really happened, huh? Well, because, everybody, they're not just – David and Goliath, what I'm saying?
No.
Everybody has weaknesses. And I knew the Saints were going to play them hard on that, and they did. They made it close for a while, but ended up being like a two-score win, but it wasn't any domination at all whatsoever.
Oh, and that's the other interesting thing. With the Buffalo Bills, they're a completely different team. They're a team that has high expectations, but at the same time, what's weird about them is that they're not the best team right now. Even though they're winning left and right and all that, they're not like dominating everybody. They have to come from behind to win, and it's all on Josh Allen. So I just wonder how much further they can push it down the season and continue this winning streak of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's crazy as the weeks just kind of – they're flying by, though. We're almost up on – we're on week 5 coming up now, Joe, just like that already. They're creeping up here. But, again, it's funny to see how all the pieces lay out, because, again, you got your week 1, you're like, whoa, all right. So then week 2, you react to that. And then week 3, we're like, I'm not sure who's who or whatever, and this. And so it's funny to watch these teams unfold and who ends up coming out on top out of this when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Jacksonville coming out with a big win last week, too, against you know, a banged-up 49ers team, though, too. Mm-hmm. That one went down to the wire, but Jacksonville ends up pulling out the victory in that one, too. That was one of the upsets, I think, this week, too. But
yeah,
we got to bring up the man. You brought about him early on, Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart gets the win for the Giants. First time started, gets his first touchdown on the season, and the Giants upset the Chargers 22-18 in a tough grind-em type of game. And this is one of those things, again, where you look at both teams. The Chargers, I was always hesitant to kind of put them as one of the top teams in the league, even though they're undefeated, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I hate power rankings. Power rankings are so effing stupid. People would instantly kind of jump them up here where they are. They barely won some other tight games, and if you're looking at you know who they end up playing or strength of their schedule right now, they got away with some here. They're a good team, and I get that. They can be complete, but again, there is no real dominant team out there that isn't beatable. And I felt like with Jackson Dart getting into this game, that opens up the offense. So look how many different plays they ran in this game, Joe. Out of the pistol, fakes here, and Jackson Dart actually running himself. It just opened it up for everybody. Scatabu again having a big day for them too. But the Chargers were beatable, and they ended up pulling out a victory in a tough game to where the defense even stepped up too when they needed them.
Yeah, two of my most underrated, in a sense, prospects coming out in this draft that I had no doubt about Jackson Dart and his capability to play quarterback in the NFL. I thought it might take some time for him to, but now that he's kind of thrusted into this starting role, the kid just doesn't lack any confidence. He's super confident, super decisive, and he's a playmaker. We saw that on display against the Chargers. The Chargers defense, oh my God, they're one of the best defenses in the league. Watch out for them. Oh my God, the Chargers offense should run down the throats of the Giants defense. Guess what? Wrong. The Giants defense came to play. They were right there for it. They were there for it all game long. And Jackson Dart did not shy away from the competition. He played extremely well and he limited his mistakes. And when things got rough, he took off and got the yardage that you needed. He's a dynamic player. Now that he's playing quarterback for the Giants, this is going to help this offense, like you mentioned, open up the playbook. A lot of other things now in plays are going to be at their disposal, RPOs. Now people got to worry about Jackson Dart now and his legs. So not only does he have a cannon for an arm, and that was on display as well, but, man, I just love this kid's upside, and I can't wait to see what he can do in his following week.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I mean, like I said, it's a different feel, a different attitude, and it opens it up for him. The one downside, again, within this last game, though, is Malik Nabers going down with the knee injury. That's terrible, again, too, because it seems like, yeah, here we go. We got a different start. If we get some things going, this could be scary watching, Malik Nabers and Jackson Dart get together on the same page. And, again, a really bad injury for him to end his season.
It is bad, and it's a torn ACL, and it was officially, labeled mm-hmm. as that a couple days later. He's done for the year. There's no doubt about it, obviously. But now he's going to have to rely on other guys. And we saw, guys like Slayton step up. We saw Robinson.
Did.
Here and there, not as frequent, but that might, kind of unravel itself week to week. And also the tight ends were being used. Dio Johnson
was
being used. Like, he distributed the football to Jackson Dart. And
it
shows you that the maturity that he has, as well as the confidence, intertwine and go hand in hand. So I think going forward, this is a very good thing for the Giants, because it's going to boost Jackson Dart's ability in terms of himself. Like, we know mm-hmm. that he exudes confidence, but at the same time, now he can believe in it too. He's like, yo, I just played one of the better teams in this league. I didn't dominate, but I played well enough.
We
beat them. We weren't expected to beat them. Chargers were supposed to come right into our house and win.
Yep.
Didn't let that happen. And the defense, you saw how the difference in the defense when they actually had someone to believe in. They had an offense that they could believe in that scored some points. Now you're giving breaks to your defensive players. And now they get a chance to take a breather, then get back on the field and play out. You saw a completely different defense than what we saw weeks before. So now this Giants team, they can rally behind Jackson Dart. And I'm not saying that the Giants are going to turn this thing around. They're going to be playoff bound, all that kind of, no,
yeah.
But I'm saying this looks great. The trajectory for the future of the Giants. And I know it's only 1 week. I'm not trying to kind of jump on a bandwagon just yet and be like, oh, Dart for president. You know what I mean? But what I am saying is that I had so much confidence in this kid coming out of college that he can handle the NFL. He's going to be all right. And as long as they continue to build around him this next offseason, concentrate on offensive line. Concentrate on just offensive line. Build it up, protect him, and then you have two stellar running backs. You can maybe add another wide receiver. Sky's the limit for them going forward into the next season.
And that's what they really need to focus on. That. And that was probably obvious this last week, too, with Jackson Dart taking some major blows. So, and I get that he wants to make a splash, wants to make moves. He, you know, that's what type of player even he is, stiff-arming guys, stuff like that. But getting hit like that week to week, you know, and again, he's already kind of injured right now, so we got to see how that
pans
out. So, but some of the easy, the hits that came to him, I remember one getting sacked with an unblocked guy going right by the guard. Mm-hmm. You can't keep getting hit like that, because there you go. So, yeah, we're going to see. And we got to see Russell Wilson back in the game right after that, too, a little bit in that game, too, when he went down when he got down on his head to get checked for a concussion quick. But we got to see Russell Wilson back in the game.
Which, by the way, was ridiculous.
Right.
The reason why he was bent over, and I don't understand how, like, I understand they're trying to be safe about it and all that, but the reason why he was bent over and saying, oh, my God, you know, because his hamstring was bothering him. It wasn't his head. He wasn't wobbly. He wasn't. It's like his hamstring was a big thing. And then you could even see it on the sideline when they're like trying to drag him up. Oh, we need to get tested. Blah 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 blah. Like he's like he's very alert. He's like, no, this is stupid. Like, no, it's just my hamstring. Like, what are we doing? And unfortunately, you still have to go through the process and whatnot. And then he was able to come back. So, you know, Russell Wilson got to debut like what his talents could do, and that's nothing for the Giants. Maybe he can, you know, go somewhere else this year, possibly. Cincinnati, we're looking at you. And you know, try to help a team that way. But yeah, it's Jackson Dart. It's his time now.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see what happens. Like you said, we're not going to candy coat it, said all of a sudden they're going to make a push for the division or anything, but it's something better than what it was. And it shows that you're trying right now, too, and not just, you know, giving in. And, you know, he will be tested. So I think one other game to circle on that would be in 2 weeks when they play the Denver Broncos. So that would be a good matchup to watch them, the good defense of the Broncos, but then also Bo Nix on the other side. Again, really great on bootlegs. How many bootlegs did we see last night again, you know, with Sean Payton and his offense? It would be interesting to watch these two guys on the same field at the same time. And one thing I was talking to Jordan Ron on last night, he was in town at the bunker, and he told me a story too. Check this out. How about the Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, right? They reached out to Joe Judge, right, to get a little insight, because Joe Judge, if you don't know, he's an assistant coach at Ole Miss, right? So they're inquiring, hey, what do you think about, you know, Jackson Dart and this kid and stuff? And Joe Judge said, hey, this guy's got a lot of talent. He's going to be able to scramble. He'll make some plays for you. I think he's got the attitude where, again, the crowd's going to like him. You know, fans are going to buy into it. And he's going to do pretty well for you. But I don't know. That might be all that you know, he gives you. But it's something. And I don't know how well you would take Joe Judge's, advice. Because, again, you know, he used to be the coach of the Giants, but not anymore. But apparently they're still reaching out to get advice from Joe Judge And I guess it makes sense because he just literally got off the payroll, I think, last year. I think they were still paying for him after they even fired him. So, but that was an interesting tidbit that I got from that. They were reaching out to Joe Judge and asking about him and see what they thought on Dart and stuff. But who knows, Joe? Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's not. But we hope it's better than what we have right now and what we had for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're calling Joe Judge to get, advice, don't. there's a reason why he's unemployed in the NFL and he's not there. So just do your scouting and trust in your scouts. Jackson Dart, listen, you didn't need to call him to find out how confident the kid is or how the fans would love him because he's got such great energy. But let's just watch what the kid can do. Let's see what he can do for the Giants. And you're right about the competitiveness that he did compete against the Chargers. He overcame that hurdle. The next big one, which might be the biggest test, is the Broncos, where we talked about the Chargers and how good they are offensively and defensively, but the Broncos are one of the best defenses in football. So that'll be his true test as a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff out there. Different topics, different games were crazy. How about the tie game? We have our first tie already, Joe. Sunday night football. Cowboys
and Packers.
Packers again, man. What are you doing? Right? I had every opportunity to win that game. Every opportunity.
Yes.
You missed it, and then again, what are you doing? Even Jordan Love, just again, you got seconds left. You're just playing not so everybody get to the line. Come on, get there. We want to leave nothing left, and you literally almost had nothing left. And throw it, and it's incomplete. Oh my God, you're lucky that wasn't picked even too. But it's incomplete in the end zone that you had 1 second left. Nothing like gambling with it all. If they screwed that up and it went to zero, we're talking about that all week, right? What a debacle. These guys are ridiculous. How do you do this? What's going on with the Packers? Because started off hot. I talked about them being probably the best team in the league at this point. We say we're at that point. But what are you doing now, with those decisions here? And I feel like, again, there was a couple of plays there that they let go that they really could have stretched it out and put their dominance on the Cowboys, and they kind of kept them back in this one.
Yeah, You can't just knock the team, the Packers, for one bad week. Right. And it wasn't about, to be honest, it's not offense. When you put up 40 points, it's not offense.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever the defensive game plan was didn't work, clearly. And I'm not just beating up on the Packers. The Cowboys and the Cowboys fans are elated that they tied the Packers. They didn't win. They tied. How can you deem that as success? You're the Dallas Cowboys. You're supposed to be one of the more prestigious organizations in the NFL. And you as a fan base, you as a team, basically are, hey, we tied the Packers, though. That shows that we're right there. We're right in the thick of things. We're going to turn this thing around. No, you got 40 points put up on your defense.
Yeah.
Look at the past since week one with the Cowboys defense. They've been giving up not just a couple touchdowns and a field goal. They've been putting up 30-plus points every week. They've been giving that up as a defense. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Cowboys defense has some talent in certain positions.
Yeah.
But for whatever the reason, is it Eberflus? Is it him calling the defense? Is that the problem? Because that's kind of what I'm starting to look at. I'm starting to kind of look at him and be like, hey, listen, what changed since a year ago? You're calling the defense. And you got they added more talent to that side of the ball, and guys came back healthy on that side of the ball. And we're getting negative results. We're not getting better. We're getting worse for the Dallas Cowboys. And then for the Packers, maybe this is a one-week fluke. Maybe that's all this is. We've had a bad defensive game plan. We had a hard time adjusting, and it is what it is. We're moving on to next week. Okay, cool. I'm cool with that. Packers can move on next week. We'll see what they can do this week. But for the Cowboys, who have been, oh, my God, they've just been struggling so much defensively. Offense ain't the problem.
It's, no, I get that. I get that too. Absolutely, because that's what I mean. Giving up the big plays to George Pickens mainly. You know what I mean? It wasn't like anybody else was really killing him, picking apart. It was big plays to Pickens. You know, and then even getting the penalties where it killed you too on defense. And the fact that I think what's interesting for me for the Cowboys is that I didn't really think Javonte Williams was going to be a big factor here, but it seems like he is running well for them, and they're getting something going with that running game that I didn't really expect for this season. So they're kind of like the Bengals of the NFC, you know, with the offense, what they can do, they can put up points, but then their defense is going to give up just as many, so they just got to outshoot, you know, the next team.
Only difference is that they got a better offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yeah.
Their head and tail's better than Cincinnati. They got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
For the Cowboys, I still think that the Cowboys are in trouble this whole season. I mean, if you keep continuing to give up that many points, you might not be able to outscore everybody, you know, and you're going to end up getting losses, and that's going to compile over time. And then who knows what happens with that circus in Dallas. With Green Bay Packers, again, it's one bad week. Not really worried about it. Let's see what happens this week. Maybe they dominate the team that they're playing this week, and we kind of forget about that tie game. But it was ugly, to say the least. It was definitely an ugly game to watch.
All right, we've got a comment out there with us tonight. We've got Daniel Shawman in the house with us tonight. He says, "Hey guys,
Daniel,
love the show. I'm here for my Steelers report. First place in run to D is getting better with rookie Derek Harmon in D-line in the last two games. Steelers, we just talked about them. I think they're turning around, I think. You know, they had a real good showing there in Dublin, which is basically a home team for them, because you got to watch with these international games now too, right? They are planning these, like, games, like, the right kind of way. When certain teams play in certain cities across the, you know, the seas, where they have rights to market that team in that area, certain teams. So they technically do become kind of home games for these teams. And we know the Rooneys, too, also have, you know, ties to Ireland there, too. So you saw the Steelers fans all through that crowd, and they dominated, and they were out there cheering the team on, too. So that only helped with the Steelers and what they were doing. But it seemed like Steelers started to get back to what they were supposed to be on defense, and Aaron Rodgers just not having to do too much again. Just kind of play it safe, be the veteran, look at, you know, the defense, what they're reading here, and just, you know, make your throws. Not having to scramble around, not getting too much pressures in here. And I think also they were able to effectively run the football, too, in that game, which was big for them. So, again, I can't try and count the Steelers out, and I'm sorry, Daniel, that I do that. You know, my dad was a Steelers fan, so it's not like I have any hatred at all. But I'm just looking at this Tomlin situation and the teams and how they keep getting longer in the tooth, and you're thinking they're just going to retool it. I just kept seeing that maybe this was going to be the end. This is going to be the end, that they're finally going to be fourth in the division. And I still just look like a fool every year.
So for the Steelers, it is a very interesting, you know, outcome for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Derek Harmon, like Daniel Shawman just mentioned, was one of my favorite D tackles coming out from Oregon. The guy is just an absolute beast, and it shows on the football field. You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be asked to be the guy. Like, everybody kind of anticipated him coming into Pittsburgh. Yeah, you're going to throw 60, 70 times every week. No. He is now kind of transformed into a game manager.
Yeah.
He's still more than capable of slinging the rock all over the football field, but if they don't have to, they're just not going to. They'll run the rock with Jalen Warren, with Caleb Johnson, with Kenneth Gainwell, who went off this week. By the way, maybe he might be maybe stealing that starting job. We'll have to wait and see. And he's just distributing to DK Metcalf down the field, throwing it to the tight end, throwing it to Calvin Austin. Like, there's a lot to like with Pittsburgh right now, and they're not overcomplicating things. Aaron Rodgers is just taking what's there, hand the ball off a few times, throw the ball once in a while, and come away with the win in the end. So kudos to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely. They always find a way to get it done. And who knows, again, with this division the way it is, it's just tight right now. So we'll see what happens. With
Pittsburgh's already, you know, got a little bit of a lead,
bit of a lead right now. Yeah, yeah, and we'll see what happens as it plays out. They've got a couple tough games down the road, too, but they are on a bye week. So, again, get healthy, get right, and then let's see what happens moving forward. Maybe Aaron Rodgers takes them on a ayahuasca retreat to Costa Rica somewhere, right? They all come back.
Will trust them.
They'll come back out of the darkness, a whole new team, right? So we talked a little bit about, you know, the Cowboys game, Packers game. Early on last week, too, the Cardinals game made an impact, too, to a fact that we got to talk about this dynamic kick again, Joe. We've seen the returns. Yes, there's more returns that are going on. We get that. And that if you kick it into the end zone, you're going to give it to them at, like, you know, the 35, 40-yard line, right? So now even kickers are trying harder to land it in that kicking zone, the landing zone, and trying to get it to bounce into the end zone. So now this is – the kickers are trying to evolve again and get around this because, like, we can't have these returns still. We want to try and pit them back because I think what some people don't realize and they didn't know about the rule is that if the ball doesn't land into the end zone exactly and then it bounces from that landing zone in, that if they take a touchback there, that they only get it at the 20, they don't get the advanced yards. So now teams are still now trying to strategically avoid a return and avoid giving that great space there, that great starting space. So ultimately trying to go for this 20, which for one, it's amazing that some of these kickers are able to do it so well. Like, again, I think Aubrey's another one, just nasty.
They're professionals.
Yeah, these guys have been doing it. But then again, the kicker for Arizona just missed it by like a yard, if that. And then again, the penalty on top of it. And then now you're giving a shit ton of yards. And to where, for me, it's frustrating again, because maybe just as, you know, originalist or the guy who likes this the way it was. And the fact that if you just went down and marched the field to score, you win. I don't like granting the next team after you score with, say, you got 25 seconds, being on the cusp of near the 50-yard line to where you could just score a game-winning field goal with a couple of dinks and dunks and out of bounds. I really can't stand that. And so you're on a different type of dynamic of this kick, and it's getting frustrating.
It's not getting. It already has been frustrating. But once they came out with this new rule and how they're going to do it, and if I got to think about how this whole rule applies in every aspect and whatnot, you're overcomplicating things. This is a simple game. This is football. Why are we complicating rules and making it almost like an equation that we got to figure out just to figure out where to spot the ball every time? Like, now we got certain formation that they got to be 10 yards apart. Nobody can move, by the way, until the receiving player catches the ball. Then you guys can block and pursue the ball carrier. This is absolutely ridiculous. Go back to the simple ways that it used to be. Just a kickoff, you know, deep kickoff, and then that big, huge return that you could get. Like, sometimes you get it all the way to the 30. Sometimes you get it to the 40 or beyond, or maybe all the way you take it to the house. That's what was exciting. We're missing that now. Everybody's like, oh, it's kickoff. Okay, so what? He'll probably get it at the 25, you know, and that's where they usually get tackled, 20, 25. It's not exciting. It's an expectation, like, oh, but by the NFL standards, like, hey, we've definitely increased the higher percentage of returns. No shit, Sherlock, because you're kicking it in the field of play. Now they have to return it, and it's just not exciting anymore. And, by the way, the other aspect of it for the NFL doing this is, oh, it's safety. We're going to be very safe. We're going to avoid concussions. We're going to avoid injuries. Guys are still getting nailed. They're still getting hit hard. Like, that's part of the game. You're not going to get rid of that. So, but the excitement factor, that I guarantee you, if you put a petition around the whole every NFL fan, yay or nay, are you for the traditional kickoff format or this new one? I guarantee you it'd be a landslide for the traditional kickoff. That's just had more excitement to it, and it wasn't complicated. We didn't have to think about this thing. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and for me, again, it eliminates the rarity of the fact that there could be a return, because, one, you're getting that wicked cushion for a returner to get a running head start before anybody he gets near anybody, so he's gaining 10 yards before anybody's near to tackling him, you know?
It's just a cluster, though. That's
no,
the problem.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it does happen. Don't get me wrong. Once in a blue moon, they do some kind of a certain blocking scheme or something, and it sets him free, and then he's off to the races. It's only happened a few times since they've, you know, indoctrinated this. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, but it's not, it's just not exciting. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not, I don't look forward to the kickoff. I'm like, oh, it's kickoff. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's just not the same. It's just not the same.
No, I get it. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe they will take a look at it this time. Because, again, now you're actively seeing, you know, announcers getting more involved with it, too. Because, again, they hate, like, now they're talking about that landing zone. This landing zone needs to go, at least. This is stupid that you got to give us a zone that we can have to have the ball within and kick or whatever, when it was just pretty simple. Keep it in the play of field. Don't kick it out of bounds. You won't get penalized. You know what I mean? But so now, again, with the fact that kickers are trying to coffin kick it in there, you know, and trying to get it to bounce into the end zone, and just trying to get a strategic, you know, win. But again, it makes it ugly. It makes it look stupid. It's ugly. So it's like, you know, now we get it here or they can get it there. And why mess with something that wasn't broken before?
Right. If the NFL's goal was to be like, oh, we wanted to increase returns for the excitement. Cool. That's fine. Just move the kickers back. That's all you had to do. Yep. Move where they kick the ball back farther, so it's harder to get a touchback.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
But why didn't we do that?
Especially the way kickers are kicking so far now, you know.
Just why didn't we do that? Why didn't we do this weird formation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I think that'll be something that people, you know, debate for the test of time, maybe, too, or depending on what the
NFL is
doing.
It's like beating a dead horse at this point. It seems like this could be a topic every week because it's so annoying to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, that's it. I hope you guys really enjoyed the show. Again, make sure you guys check out the merch here at grumblingsmedia.com. There you go. Shop. There it is at the bottom of your screen. And also, here's even some QR codes. So you guys just scan there. You get yourself a nice fancy mug. And we also got some shirts and stuff as well, too. So check out the merch there. We appreciate the support out there, whatever you guys can do. And, you know, we don't need your money or anything like that, too. We just need you to subscribe and like, too, and comment down there like Daniel did. We love that. We love that more than anything. All right? It's fine if you want to get the shirts and stuff and the mugs. We get that. But we love the interaction with you guys. Joe, tell them how they could find us, even some more shows like this.
Oh, Jim, I mean, you were on a roll there. I thought you were going to kind of roll into it and just tell
everybody. You just say it so much better, man.
Listen, it's real simple. Listen, it doesn't cost you guys anything out there. Head over to Grumblings Media over on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're at it. Absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Spread the word. Tell everybody. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And make sure you share it to everybody. We'll see you guys in the next one.
See you guys. See you next one.